Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and this is the time when we are working our way through The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. It's been an incredible project to do this, and it's been a delightful project to do it together with others. Mm-hmm. The book consists of 15 chapters, and in part, it explores the concept of prayer absolute, and it explodes in an unusual way. And then we happen upon chapter 14, and in chapter 14 we start to realize suddenly we're in a different universe. You know, don't forget, it was just a few chapters ago, Ivan, chapter 13. Was about the
food. For food, yeah.
And then just before that, we were in the world of
objective prayer.
We're in the world of octaves. So octaves, mm-hmm. And then this thought for food, and then we walk into this, what appears on the surface to be an utterly different area called the angelic choirs, right? Mm-hmm. And in the header of that chapter, the chapter we're concluding tonight or in the next little while here, it talks about, this is about angelic training. Now, many of us are not used to that kind of thinking. You know, we're kind of like these philosophic fourth-way thinkers, right? It's just like, here's what it means, here's how the rationality works. But now they're saying, angel training? What the heck, mm-hmm. is that? So in the chapter, and you know, I'm going to carry on just a little bit here. In many of the philosophic and spiritual work that we encounter, a lot of the writings that are produced, and certainly the writings that E.J. Gold produces, in my opinion, they're unfinished. They're unfinished like a great work of art or a great piece of music is unfinished.
Unfinished.
It's unfinished until the viewer views it. I had a great conversation with a professor from Columbia a few years ago at the jazz festival in New York, and we talked about the idea of that there's the presentation, in a sense, by the artist when they do a piece, but in a certain way it's completed when the viewer does it. Think about a poem. Think about a poem from 15th century Japan, and the writer is now forgotten. And then there emerges the poem, and you read the poem, which we're going to do in a couple of months, by the way. Something magical happens. So somehow that transited through time and touched us. So when I read this material by E.J. Gold in this particular book, I look at it not as a complete philosophy, but I look at it as an invitation. It's an invitation to take this material and then complete the experiment that we're being offered here. If you look at, I believe it's chapter 5 on practical work on self, which is work wish. And he talks about it's data and experience go hand in hand. They wash each other. It's only when you have both that it begins to become real. Because think of, we have in our audience here a beginning flute player. Maybe she's beyond that at this point.
No.
She declares the... And, but in any event, so she So until she began the process of doing it, it was theory, right? So you actually picked it up and your fingers did whatever they did, right? So there's like, there's a physicality to it that starts to, you have more knowledge now about that process than you did before. Bright, very experienced individual, and yet there's a lot more knowledge about that little experience that millions of people have done, have entered into that esoteric chamber called playing the flute. So in this chapter, on chapter 14, which is called Angelic Choirs, we took the approach as a group here, we said, okay, let's do it. Page 149, there's this list of angels, and just out of curiosity, do you have the book? Okay, why, hand a copy to Jim, page 149, and just scan it and pick one, okay? You take your time, we're going to go on. But anyway, and so in this process, people selected membership in a certain choir, and then those choirs began to come together. And in coming together, the choirs decided to form and do something in terms of the warden of those various halls, right? So I sent out an email today. I was just, how did it go for you? What was it like? Like, did you think it was kind of hokey to begin with? And, you know, what's he talking about? You know, it's just stuff. And then what I'm interested in is a number of things. One, the mechanics of it. What was it like? Did you feel you became a choir? All right. Now, we haven't got into the concept of the choir master yet. That's for later. But do you feel you became a choir? That's the first question. Nobody selected the halls or the archangels for you. You selected those, and you wound up with the miscellaneous arbitrary individuals in that particular choir. You did it. No one didn't even get assigned. Well, I think she works good with him, and he works good with her, and so we'll put them together. No, it's just by some choice you chose. Did any stick out to you?
Ezra.
That's of the. Well, wait.
Only one need to pick the ruler.
No. In which hall is that?
That's in the third choir.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's like, how did you pick that? Anyway, so if you would please, like, Harry, you've written, and did you get a chance to read
part of it?
Do you want to lead us off a little bit, Harry? What was it like? You know, do you think a choir formed?
Yeah, yes, I do, David. Not initially. There was some confusion as to who was going to do what and in what sequence. But we listened to each other and kind of grabbed hold of whatever project or whatever needed doing that presented itself. And eventually our roles kind of fell into place naturally.
So you had a guy that missed a bunch of meetings, said he never prepared, right?
I'm not sure about that. Everybody contributed in different ways. We all have different gifts.
at the end of the day, he was, in my opinion, a critical member of it and played a wonderful role.
Absolutely.
So the form that it takes, we have to like unhinge our brain from the form that these things take. Right, Susan? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, my first thought was when you wanted a presentation from a group who I didn't know and wouldn't be able to physically get anything together, it did seem kind of like it was going to be hard.
You did think it was going to be hard?
I thought it was going to be hard, but then once we started getting together, it's like we kind of naturally went in our own directions, and then it blended together. I did some of just like finding some of the intellectual items. And then one group member did an invocation, and then another one wrote a poem, and it somehow it blended together so nicely. And it felt very natural, and like I didn't feel like I was like, I don't know, it just felt like the work naturally divided itself.
Uh-huh.
And so I think we really did form a choir. And I'm glad we didn't have to sing.
Yeah, I felt that way too for the third hall. If you could try singing at another time. I didn't have any expectation. I thought because we have no experience of these angels, or seemingly, I didn't think that much was going to come of it, but it was kind of amazing the way that people's research combined, that the associations, the ideas, and the directions that we went with it were building up something as a choir, progress in regard to that angel.
So being bound by ignorance was a blessing.
Right.
Starting from ignorance was probably the best thing we could do.
And there was a certain integrity, and I participated in all of the groups to give a hand as well as I could, but everybody was able to get to the place that I call of starting ignorance and allowing themselves to be in the I don't know space and bringing what I consider formidable tools. Like in the second hall with Raphael, Mark would stumble into the, I'm being overemphasizing, stumble into the class, and, oh, yeah, I didn't read anything, I didn't do this. And he goes, but I had this experience with Raphael today.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember that.
And, you start listening, like you listen between the lines to what these individuals are doing, and that means that he's thoroughly engaged in the process. But we have to unhook our expectations of linearity from what might come along and be prepared to receive the gift. I was just so moved by listening to him, because to me it was like the absolute contrast between the head and the heart, how he worked. Really quite something.
I found that working together as a group, in our group, Vadir found an image of our angel, Anahel, and it was perfect. It was like it really expressed our angel without being kind of a trite angel picture that you would see anywhere.
Right.
And it was just because she was looking at it with different eyes, that I was able to receive it.
So this is important, too. This is a great comment that Susan's making. It's like, because, I'm just going to quote her, because I was looking at it with different, because she was looking at it with different eyes, I was able to receive it. So we have to come sometimes, if we can come from our deepest, the deepest places of our essential self, and if that's what we bring to the table, it opens up possibilities for others in the circle that weren't there before.
And things that you would never think of.
Things you would never think of, and suddenly you're able to grasp and accept those. So Vidir was a great help in that kind of inquiry, yet we needed the structure that came from both, you know, Ivan and Susan, in my opinion, to bring that together. And the boldness of being the first presentation as well.
And there's not
but you didn't get the sense of being the choir until the actual presentation took place.
Okay. This is very important. Is Pathworld on?
Yeah.
Pathworld on.
Yes.
Dan says, or Lost Horizon says, I didn't get the sense of being a choir until
the presentation took place.
Okay. So let's unpack that a little bit, okay? And we listen carefully when our fellow workers then are doing some of their work. We listen carefully. We listen as well as we can with our whole being. And so I'm sitting here listening, and you know, finally Michael comes to the plate, right, fourth hall. And I'm thinking, well, my God, what are they going to do? And Pathworld starts reading. And it's kind of, you know, a little bumpy road. And then, boom. I don't know if you recall this, but she just slipped into that higher space. And her voice became resonant with authority. Where did that come from? I didn't feel we had become a choir until we did the presentation. Right? So sometimes it's you have to wait for the performance to occur to realize, hey, we were a band. Okay?
Now I felt like I learned
And MA is, I have a comment about her in a minute, but Tamara is saying that she learned about the angel
by being with
the group.
Yeah, I would say the same for our choirs, that I felt like we were morphed into something by doing this work together. We were becoming.
Or allowing, we haven't really discussed that particular point, but and like I was thinking about, I was thinking when you were speaking about knowing, and when MA did her, the prayer of Michael, I mean, I was thinking, what is she going through? That she was going through a learning experience at that moment, and allowing all of us to participate in that prayer. That was very strong. Are there any comments? I'm sorry. No?
Nope.
Could I make a comment? Yeah, I just wanted to say that this is the topic that you're talking about here, David, is very much the one, you know, something that Lupe said, I don't know how many times over the years and how many different forms, but I come back to it a lot, which is that teaching that we're working with, is a lineage or a teaching that comes alive in the transmission. So when you transmit the ideas, then they come alive to you. And I experienced this in study circle work. I experienced it in Tucson, Arizona, very strongly. And then, so when I first heard that idea, you know, it was like a light that went on. Yeah, I mean, I'm wandering around most of the time in a fog, and maybe I'm intellectually reading those ideas, or I'm trying to put something together theoretically or hypothetically or whatever. But then if I sponsored, if I was a study circle leader and I had to be there every week at the same time for 2 or 3 hours, and different people showed up, or sometimes maybe for 6 months at a time, the same people showed up or something, when we delved into those ideas, under the spotlight, so to speak, or like in the change, in the different space, in the altered space, you know, in the intentional space.
In the intentional space.
Yeah, the space for bringing those ideas to life, then something happened where it came to life. And it was sort of like, you know, I could say that I learned from other people what those ideas meant, or, you know, it was something that I wasn't experiencing it in the privacy of my study or living room or whatever.
But, in the solitude of
But with other people, and then saying, well, this is what the practical work on self-exercises are, or this is what the Shakti book is about, or this is what creation story verbatim is, and so on, it would be, oh, yeah, you would have a breakthrough or something would come through. But I think this is kind of what we're experiencing here, is that I think that there's a, Harry wrote something about it, I think, in his post. There's a qualitative difference when you jump off that edge, you know, and you go into that presentation. You're now willing to present, to speak for those
you're
ideas.
Willing.
You're willing,
that's nice,
to present, and, you're embodying, you're representing those ideas to others, to somebody else.
Part of my thought was that if we would do this, and if we do it in a certain form, and I didn't know what the form was, but if we did it in a certain form, it in a sense was a space that allowed, was an invitation to the warden of that hall to manifest just for a moment and to say, okay, I am here. And that's because individuals were willing to do that. I don't know if Simon's on or not. Susan, do you want to read the comments, or are you able to?
Yeah, there's a couple of comments. Path World, she said, for me, a very moving experience, yet in the beginning of the group, I thought we weren't ready, but we became one.
Okay.
And then Hawk Lady, I felt before the group met, we were all over the place. But when we all met, there was an intensity brought to the table, which helped us to go further before the next meeting.
Right. I've posted on the website next to each angel the material of presentation from each group. So if you'd like to review any particular presentation, and it's been approved by each group to put it up there, so you can go on the website and see that. And I asked about Simon because we've heard Simon speak quite a bit. And yet when he did the invocation of Sandalphon, it was like a different person there. It was a different person.
Yeah, I recall that as being very strong, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very strong presentation.
So how could that be? The same guy, right? Same name. Didn't change his name. Didn't even get a haircut. What is that process? Or that same evening when Silverdale read his presentation on Sandalphon, it was stirring to begin thinking of it in that way. That was truly breakthrough material. There's no material like that out there. Okay?
And the singing, I was so moved by the singing of, was that Bathara?
The singing. The Tamara.
Tamara. That was beautiful.
Off the charts.
Piandro has a note for Hawk Lady. He says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, Shekinah is their canopy.
What was the last part?
Shekinah.
Shekinah is their canopy.
So, say it again, please.
Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, Shekinah is their canopy.
Is their canopy.
Their canopy.
Yeah.
Or their, the version of that that I know is that where two or three gather in my name, there am I present.
And that's what it is. And so that's what I think, in my name, gathered in my name. And I think these individuals took the time to spend a number of weeks, many hours, on being willing to be in thy name. To be in thy name. And now, in a sense, we have the beginning experts of these various areas now, Raphael, and Michael, Hanael, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sandalphon. Yes, very important point. How utterly appropriate each space was, each invocation that the presenters did over these last month. And how utterly different it was. Tamara is saying that both M.A. and Lost World Dan were here in the space for the invocation of Michael, and that she said they looked different. It physically looked different. So what I'm trying to say here is that we moved into these spaces by doing a particular type of work. A particular type of invocation occurred, and in that space, there was really and truly a little bit of esoteric knowledge came through that was held by that group. And then that group came forth and handed it to us as a larger group. Okay? That's how you do it. There's no other way to do it. It is not a mental adventure here.
Well, I think this is getting, you just reminded me again that EJ's been talking about Nimbus stations, and this is like, you know, what are the moments that you remember from your childhood, life and so on? There are these kind of touchstone experiences you have, which you get to unpack for
good
years.
Good point. Here's a little experiment we can do right now. So let's just go back to each of the four presentations and recall the space. Can you recall the space? What was the first one again? It was the third hall. and the Archangel Anahel or Hanael. Can we bring back, can we remember that now? Can we go back there a little bit? Say a word that comes to you. Or something that you recall from that.
Awakening there. To the real self.
Susan says, awakening to the real self.
Hawk Sadie says, vibration.
By particular vibration.
Gentle inspiration.
Emerald green radiation.
Emerald green. So this is that first hall. And, you know, we had kind of an elaborate setup here where we had Second Life on my computer. And the reading of the poem by Vadir.
Sense of knowing and being known.
That's nice. That's another slant to it, Susan, on what is your real self. Knowing and being known.
Knowing and being known.
David, Magic Phoenix has written, it's not learned, but gathered. It's embodied.
Nice.
Embodied.
It's not learned, it's embodied. It's
interesting comment.
Very good. Very nice, Magic Phoenix. And then we moved into the next. We took a week off from presentation. And then the following presentation was the fifth hall, Sandalphon. Do we recall this? Do we remember Sandalphon? Do you remember that space? There you go. Silverdale?
Yeah, Sandalphon was intended to invoke the idea of one step in prayer absolute, place Sandalphon within that process. And then I thought Simon was just inspired. When he and I were discussing the whole chamber, he seemed to have been inspired with Sandalphon from the moment of his choice.
Yeah.
And spoke of the clarity of his mind as he looked out as though through the eyes of the absolute at the creation itself. A mirror,
I was moved by the idea that, and if you read it, it's moving the where it's associated with the idea of with clear mind, my presence comes to know thee, right? So with clear mind, my presence comes to know thee. And I listened when Silverdale was making his presentation about that, and there was a shimmering clarity for me during that time. It was not an intellectual presentation. It was, they got us into the space called clear mind, and it was for me, there was this, it just felt like a shimmering of clarity.
David, I felt that the clarity it invoked eliminated doubt. It was had a
nice
flavor of certainty to it.
Yep.
Simon did have the feel of the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm.
Yes.
The feeling of being led.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Guided.
Yeah.
Guided, perhaps.
Guided is a better word.
But for me, there was a fundamentally different signature between that presentation and the first presentation. And it is the reason I'm asking us to recall it, because I want to get back to the vibratory sensation that you had in that particular space.
Yeah, that's true. I would
Well,
I was rather surprised that the third hall seemed to me what we arrived at with Anahel was very much a chest sensation. It was a heart, like a heart-centered perception, because you're dealing with the
crown chakra.
Yeah, the integrity, like the clarity but of the true self. What is the inner truth? Whereas this one was clear mind. My presence comes to the...
Comes to know the, yeah.
Yeah.
And a comment from Hawk Lady. She said, light, open, and peaceful.
Nice.
Path World said, a knowing. And then Magic Phoenix said, it's weird. You don't expect to all of a sudden see or know without hard work, yet it is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Yep.
I think...
In the following week... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, for me, through all the presentations, I feel like I got to see the signature of our group and individually, and to, you know, listen to George and entertain an idea that I wouldn't have gone to, putting it with the prayer absolute.
No.
Was brilliant. And then I can just, you know, feel MA in the space. And just, it just gives me a little
MA
peace.
With your presentation. Yeah.
It just gives a little piece of each person that I feel like I know them better, and then as far as us as a group, we can learn each other's strengths and weaknesses and use them.
We learn each other's strengths and weaknesses as working when you work as a group.
Well, we're then all particles of the absolute sharing within ourselves.
Yes.
Yet we've come together.
We're the absolute talking to ourselves.
Yeah, I'm always doing that.
Then the following week after Sandalphon came Raphael. And what a different vibratory color. What a color. The colors were different.
Mm-hmm.
The tone, the sound, the church organ was playing. Right? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Or at least the portable.
No.
No?
Okay. I saw, for me, it was
the whole pipe.
Full blown.
Okay.
So, what is it then? What did you come away with? And I strongly encourage you to go to the website, wingsofchaos.com, and on chapter 14 under Hidden Work, you're going to read some wonderful comments. If you haven't read the one that Susan put up a couple weeks ago, and then there's really something that Harry posted tonight, you'll be pleased to hear his reflections, which is for all of us. So, yeah, that had such a different feel to it, didn't it, Raphael?
Yeah.
It was there was a lightness to it, but it was a profundity that was frightening a little bit. And then last week, then we finished with Michael, with his sword cutting asunder illusion from truth. Fiery presentation. Absolutely. The presentation was fiery, but the space was fiery. You could feel his, the fire of his sword in the space. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the group was able to bring to us. And that's that we had these little subgroups bring a gift to the larger group. I don't think I would have studied Raphael much on my own. Sandalphon. You know, Michael. I'd read over and think, yeah. I heard those names before. I know what they're like. And the ones that I didn't even know how to pronounce, I just pass over.
Yeah, there's a holiday for that.
There's a holiday for that. But we were presented and invited to hang out there for a while by our fellow members here. So that was the gift that we were given. So, what would you like to do next?
Right, we're waiting to entertain Gabriel, for Gabriel to entertain us.
That could happen.
David, are there any more presentations on this chapter?
There are no other presentations that are prepared. Gabriel seems to be flitting in and out of the space in a certain way, but he's very interested in coming to the show. Very interested, certainly invited, absolutely invited to the party,
mm-hmm.
And knocks on the door every once in a while, and you open the door and no one was there, but it was interesting because when a couple of people spoke for Gabriel, several things happened. There were some coincidences that occurred a few days after that. Gabriel showed up.
Right.
And that, so we have to start thinking outside the box because, you know, when, like, you know, I'm thinking about Mark right now. Guy's walking down the street in the city of angels.
Right.
Right? And boom, he gets, there's Raphael. Now, why did that happen?
Because some people have an unfair advantage.
He had an unfair advantage. we're gonna dock his pay.
The evangels. It's stuck in the country here.
It's because he allowed himself to be open to it. Okay? Be open to that energy. So one thing we can do, particularly, you know, you may want to meet with your choir again or not, but be open to the little door that you've cracked open, just 1 inch, 1/4 inch, cracked it open. Allow it to be open longer. You don't know what it's going to look like. Mark is an experienced player, so this is a guy that senses something like that. He, you know, he knows what it is, but maybe it's not going to say Raphael when you open the door. Maybe it's just going to be a something that occurs in the space that only you'll be able to pick up because of your work with Sandalphon or Hanael or your work with Michael, Raphael. Because you did that work, there's something that's possibly open now that had not been open before. And at the end of You never know. You never know what you have to pay. And sometimes the door can't really be closed. You can try. But if you put in the kind of effort that some of these individuals have done, sometimes the door is not closable. So embrace that. Embrace that. What's going to come next? You never know when there's something that you need to experience by verbalizing it with a group. Okay?
Magic Phoenix said, open the door before he knocks. It could be tried.
Yeah. So the door is open a little bit right now. And so just if you keep open, just try not to, in your brain, have a form that it's supposed to take. That's the thing I'm trying to say. You don't know what it's going to look like. And allow that to be okay. Okay?
Sounding like Ghostbusters.
I think that's why this experiment worked. Because it was something that none of us had any experience with or expectations or any idea of what we were even going to do. So I think that that put everybody on total even ground.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So cool.
The third hall group choir has met a couple of times since the presentation, and one of the things that occurred, like one of the last meeting was on Tuesday, and the idea was, okay, well, what is your true self? And some of us wanted, an answer. What is my true self? Okay? And in some cases, the answer was just sit with that question.
Mm-hmm.
The burning iron, hot iron ball of the koan of who is my true self? Where shall it be? Where does it show up?
This is an essence question.
It's an essence question.
Not the only essence.
I like that. Where does it show up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, Ivan.
I want to raise something. I don't want to bring this in as a non sequitur, but I'm thinking that before we abandon this book for the next or whatever, I wonder if people have a sense of why this book is called The Hidden Work. What's hidden about this work?
Ivan, we lost your sound then.
You lost my sound?
Yes.
I'm posing a question, why is this book called The Hidden Work? What's hidden about it? From our experience now of this book, or these ideas. Just a little background that this, in the hardcover Secret Talks of Mr. G volumes, this third volume was called Objective Prayer. Prayer absolute, basically, as the focus of this book. But this was the author's choice for the public release of this book to call it The Hidden Work. And I'm just wondering, what about it is hidden?
Now that you ask the question, it looks like it's hidden in plain sight.
That's right.
Well, I'm wondering, for us, maybe it's in plain sight. Yeah, I'm just thinking that, I guess this came to mind because of the nature of, I guess, of this discussion, the way that, to me, the way that David is raising this discussion of the, you know, that we've broken into something here that we didn't expect in regard to the angelic choirs. So I'm thinking, well, there was something hidden in this book for us because we've started to discover some. There's no telling how far we could go with this, let's say. But even just from going from reading a chapter to doing this work that we've done as with angelic choirs, we obviously are delving into something that's hidden in here.
There's a comment from Magic Phoenix.
It took work to get to that point.
So, to get with, let's clarify that. Exactly what do you mean? It took work to get to what
Dan
point?
Says it took work to get to that.
That's what I said.
It took work to get to the point of experiencing the spaces.
Very important. It's hidden until we do enough work where we can just peek over the fence a little bit, right? But we did enough work so you can peek over and you go, wow, look. And once you've gotten that sight, you have it forever. But you need to own it a little bit too. Need to own it.
So, David, you also made reference to an experience that Mark communicated that he had in the City of the Angels. So, you know, there are maybe some aspects of this teaching, some parts of this that are hidden in the ordinary also, that are hidden in ordinary experience.
Oh, absolutely.
So that we could be, have moments of awakening to that hidden work, to the hidden work.
Hey, maybe I could throw in 2 cents.
Yes.
Ivan, I'll remind you and perhaps others that this book, The Hidden Work, as you mentioned, was originally published as Volume 1 of Secret Talks with Mr. G. And as you pointed out, it was originally called Prayer Absolute and Sacred Obligation. There were actually 2 parts to that.
Right.
And,
okay.
To my way of, and the first chapter, the first chapter really gives an indication that the absolute is in need of something, that and whatever that something is, we learn that on a fragment, on a parchment fragment, but we don't quite know what it is. I've always thought this was kind of a swing book from the end of Gurdjieff's trilogy to the beginning of a second octave of Gurdjieff's teaching. And what we find in Beelzebub's tales is that the absolute suffers. And mm-hmm. The absolute suffers between the joy and the sorrow in the universe. And we develop our presence, our own personal presence, in order to alleviate that suffering of the absolute. And then that turns to my way of thinking, that's what prayer absolute, sacred obligation is all about, alleviating the suffering of the absolute through the development of our own presence. That's the hidden work.
Mm-hmm. So this, my question in regard to that is, what about that is hidden?
Or I would say there are 2 parts to it. One is, very few people ever develop presence in their life by separating their essential self from their human biological machine and differentiating between 2 different sensations of self. And in that sense, it's hidden because we don't have the capacity to look and see the suffering of the absolute on the one hand. And the second part is that this is all invisible to our 5 senses, and that's why it's necessary to develop presence so that we're sensitive to what it would otherwise be invisible to us.
Uh-huh, some sort of 6th sense.
A sixth sense in the form of personal presence.
Yeah, personal presence. Go ahead with the comment online.
Magic Phoenix has an observation. He says, I make the cautious suggestion that more is hidden than what exactly appears to be hidden. That is, there is hidden in lowercase letters and there is hidden in uppercase.
That's interesting.
That seemed to be what you were trying to say, Ivan, as well.
Yeah, and Tamara is saying it's also hidden because it's covenantal.
So you're working for the absolute.
Right.
The invocational dinners.
You're working for the absolute invocational dinners.
You know,
you're
fulfilling
for
the covenant, yeah.
Yes.
And that's hidden in what sense?
Well, that it requires others.
You can't do the work by yourself. It requires others.
Now, Dan said something that we didn't pay attention to. Do you remember what we said? I just tried to say it. No. After that. Mark saw something.
Mark had an experience, and a person walking next to him could have not had that experience.
So also in that way, hidden work. Because only when we begin to loosen our eyes and we take away the sleep that's in our eyes, can we begin to see the magical world, and we can see the wonder world that is there all the time. It is there all the time. What we will see is unknown. But to intentionally walk upon the earth in a sense with a sense of wonder about you, with what George is saying is this practice of an internal presence, mm-hmm. you will see a sparkling world that you may not have seen before. But it is there, and it was always there. Like an open invitation. So when we do our work and we stand in that place, then you can see it about you. The problem is it may not take the form that you wish and hope for it to take. I didn't see any angel with wings.
Ghostbusters comes in.
So, I think this was a very interesting experiment.
You mean the experiment ends before we get to chapter 15?
No.
He's talking about the experiment of the choirs, I believe. The
yeah.
Angelic choirs.
And
not the whole book.
I'll tell you my view on it. I haven't really said much about this, but the choir work never ceases. It will go on for decades if it's something that you so want it to, because the work with Raphael or Michael, Gabriel, Hanael, Sandalphon.
You could develop a habit of invoking that angel.
And maybe you were called forth to invoke that angel because maybe in part, and I've said this before, it's too mystical to repeat in a certain way, but maybe you were selected in part for that choir. There's no way of proving that. We don't know that that's the case, that suddenly Tamara is in the second hall of Raphael. Maybe she was hand-picked.
Absolutely.
So, you know, hold What if you hold something like that in your mind? The work for and with and in service to that angelic being and the hall. This is something we didn't stress enough, I didn't stress enough, is the angel is a warden of a hall. These are the castles, the guardians. These are the temples that are sitting there, and each temple has its own signature and its own work that gets done in that environment. And the angel is the warden of that environment. And we've invited ourselves into that. So does it end? No. Will we go on to chapter 15? Probably.
Will our hero manage to hold on to the cliff long enough to tune in next week?
We have one more comment.
Go ahead, Susan, please.
From Magic Phoenix. The magical world is so impressive and so all-encompassing that it is overwhelming. There is nothing that is not magic, for me anyway.
And the Voyager learns to walk between the raindrops and look into the shadows and see what's there as well. And if you hold that viewpoint, then you are a Voyager in that world as well. Okay?
Okay.
Hawk Lady says, yes, Ivan, our hero will.
Our hero will.
Make it to the next
week. Yeah, good. I think we're going to put this voyage on hold right now.
This evening.
Yes.
Voyage. So that's it for tonight. Thank you all for coming, and thanks for the great effort over the last couple of months here. And we'll continue next week, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I'm working on The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. Thank you.
Thanks, David and Ivan, for leading us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.